found a list that I had made, which was a 5-year list, and it was 39. And it said, I will be married and I will have a family and I will have a business and I will have a home and what all this other stuff. And like I crossed most of it off, but I wasn't the husband being married and having, you know, a family. I was like, oh gosh, I don't know. I only have, I have less than a year to make this happen. It ain't going to happen. And so I put the list away and I thought to myself, like, I need to make room. If I want to attract someone, there's no room.
Yeah.
And I had like in front of a television, I had like just an easy chair, like one chair. So I got rid of it and I bought a sofa and I looked at my bed and I only had one bedside table. So I bought another bedside table. And then I looked around and all of my closets were full. So I emptied out a closet and I emptied out a bureau. And I looked around and I noticed that a lot of the pictures and art that I had were of like a single woman. And I took all of them down and I bought pictures of couples and I put them up. Within 3 weeks, I met my husband and it was like that. We got married.
Because you allowed him and you're like, oh my God, I'm choking up.
I made room for him. Yeah, you made him. There was no room for him before.
Yeah.
Universe can't provide if there's no place to provide.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow.
So I believe that in everything, in business, you know, you have to make room for it. You have to be ready. If you're not ready, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think that's part of like what I do with the LinkedIn profiles. It's making people get, well, it's really, I didn't just disguise myself. It's getting people the vision. Most people don't even have the vision of what they want.
Yeah.
But, you know, but then it's getting them ready. You know, it's painting the picture. It's articulating the story. It's getting everything in place. And boom, that's when opportunity arises.
Oh, my God. Okay, we should have started the interview. Welcome to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building lasting, genuine relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. I'm your host, Candice Ridardi, and today I'm joined by Donna Sedula. Donna pioneered LinkedIn profile optimization, realizing its potential beyond a resume. She shares tips on standing out, listing skills, building brands, and leveraging LinkedIn for success. As founder of Vision Board Media, she helps individuals and companies tell their stories online. Donna's website, LinkedIn-makeover.com, transforms lives through future-forward career branding. With two editions of LinkedIn Profile Optimization for Dummies, she's been featured in Forbes, Business Insider, Times, Money Section, and the Wall Street Journal, y'all. Donna's expertise empowers people to dream big and seize opportunities. Holy moly, this is going to be so much fun. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Candice, thank you so much for having me.
Full disclosure, we've been chatting with each other for 20 minutes, and I really wish that the 20 minutes before we started the conversation, the podcast conversation, were included in the episode, but it's not, y'all. So sorry.
But you were recording it. You can just sort of like...
that's true. I could make a bonus content.
Ooh.
Ooh. All right. So tell us your story. How did you get to where you are today?
How did I get here? I followed a pretty typical corporate America path for the beginning part of my career, but I was unfulfilled and unhappy. I knew that there was more for me. I wasn't sure what it was though. I remember back in the day, I used to think, I wish I had some skills, some marketable skills. I wish I had some. And lo and behold, you know, here's the funny part. I'm designing websites. I'm like in social media. I'm helping people like write things. And I never at that time thought that that was my marketable skill. It was something that I just did. It came so naturally. It didn't seem like, you know, a big deal to me. But I got into a role where I was in like a really high pressured sales environment. And that's when I started to recognize the power of LinkedIn. And it all sort of like came together at that point. I said, I need to help people tell their story and use this platform. And it's hard to write about yourself and it's hard to see your strengths. And you know, when you do put that, the right articulation of your vision and your dreams and who you are out there, you collide with opportunity. And so that's what I wanted to help people do. I started doing that in 2009. I've got 20 writers on my team. We've written over 8,000 LinkedIn profiles, and we're going to continue to help people tell their story.
That's a small company right there, or a mid-sized company right there, 8,000 people.
8,000 profiles that we've
profiles.
Written. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, projects, clients. Alliance.
Well, that's what I mean. 8,000 profiles would be a small company.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Well, no, a mid-sized company. So, okay.
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. So 2009 was a bit ago and things have changed. It's been 15 years. So in the last 15 years or so, how has LinkedIn transformed?
You know, at one time, it was really nothing more than the profile. It's really nothing more than that. And in some ways, it was beautiful back then because it was a really passive social network where you didn't have to do a lot. you just had to make sure you had a really good brand and great things would happen. But like with all other of the social networks out there, you know, they want that LinkedIn feed to be sticky. They want people to keep coming back. They want you to be on the platform. And so now it's about not just having that profile. It's now about being on and engaging with content. But here's the thing, that the nice part of it, it's not just that you're engaging with content, you're networking and you're helping and you're being seen and you're being remembered and you're adding value and you're doing so good things are happening. And what's nice is it's career, it's business, it's professional, you know, so it seems to know its lane. I like that about it.
Well, and it knows its lane, but its lane isn't just corporate America.
Right.
So I network with a lot of other business coaches because that's my lane. I'm a business coach, podcast host. And so when I network outside, I belong to two types of networks. One is Business Network International, BNI, where I network with, you know, a group of referral partners on a weekly basis. And then I
love BNI.
So do I. And then I do. Are you a BNI member?
I'm not anymore, but I did their annual conference keynote like 2 years ago.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, not like the top one, but the one that is only for their high level people that, you know.
Ooh.
That was nice.
Well, it's a good skill set that BNI people need to know. But it also people who are professionals in their solopreneur career also benefit from LinkedIn. When I network with other coaches and podcast hosts, I find 8-10 LinkedIn connections in my inbox the following day. I find zero Facebook or Instagram connections the following day. Zero. So the LinkedIn isn't just for corporate, it's also for professionals that are in that professional sphere that don't want to play games.
Yeah, it's for entrepreneurs. It's for that's the thing. A lot of times people think, oh, it's just for job seekers, or it's just for recruiters, or it's just for the corporate types. But it really is for those who are business owners, entrepreneurs, you know, however you want to define it. But it's people who their world involves contacts and relationships.
Without the crap that you get with other social media platforms.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So we've talked about where LinkedIn was, and we're sort of going in the direction of where LinkedIn now is. Now, I want to tell you a story, and then we're going to fix the story. So I had a referral for one of my BNI partners, referral partners, and it was a woman I had met on LinkedIn. And I asked her the best way to connect her to him. And she said, please just do it here on LinkedIn. And I said, can I give him your email address? And she said, no, it's best for you to just connect us here on LinkedIn. And so I went back to him and I said, I need you to accept my LinkedIn connection so that I can connect you to this referral. And he says, I haven't been on LinkedIn in 5 years. I didn't find any use for it. And I said, I think you need to take another look at it. So I want you to convince him to get back on LinkedIn after 5 years.
What does he do exactly?
He's an insurance agent. You
know, I think you could say to him, your clients that you sell insurance to, would you be interested in seeing your clients' networks?
Oh, that's a good answer.
Because LinkedIn would allow you that visibility. And a lot of times, you know, people want to do business with people that their network knows of, or they've heard of, or they have some connection to. And so, you know, like insurance, it's not the sexiest, you know, of vocations out there. And certainly it's hard for some insurance, you know, people, you know, they get on LinkedIn, like, do you really want to, like, it's not like it's engaging, but you know, people do business with people. So this would be his chance to tell his story, to connect with people, to be able to look into their networks, make other connections, but also really build a personable brand. Because he could be talking about, you know, his clients and what's going on and the different, you know, networking groups that he belongs to, because he surely does. And, and you know, the good things that he's doing, because he's probably very philanthropic, most are.
And,
you know,
so, all the unique things that he does that other insurance might not do, what the specialties that he might have. I mean, this is Michigan. I'm not, he's a personal lines insurance, so this isn't relevant to him, but in Michigan, we have insurance agents who specialize in the marijuana industry because marijuana is legal here. And so you have to have special insurance for marijuana, right? So we have some insurance agents whose gig is we know everything you need to know about the law so that you can have your shop.
Yeah.
You know, so there are niches within the insurance industry. And that's just one little niche. Classic cars, another niche. There are so many different things that you could be specializing
and
in.
And that's kind of sexy stuff. Uh-huh. Right now we're getting into more of the niche, which is interesting. So he could be posting great pictures of cars or talking about, you know, the crazy shops that he's been to and whatnot. Yeah. Like there is stuff to talk about. But it's really about positioning it and niching down and enjoying it.
Okay, so let's just take this insurance agent. We're gonna make it. We're focused on him. Let's just make a pretend insurance agent. So he's a guy. So let's make this one a woman. So she's a woman. She has been in insurance for 25 years. She's just dipping her toe into LinkedIn now because she didn't really think it was useful for her business. And her specialty is that she knows everything there is to know about insuring restaurants. What are some suggestions you'd have for her?
Well, her profile should be written towards those restaurateurs or whoever it is that she would be selling, right? That would be a huge part. And it would be letting them understand that she specifically understands who they are and what they need and can help them, unlike, you know, those agents that don't understand, because that is a very specific industry with you know, peculiarity that's, you know, others wouldn't know of. So, you know, I think it would be definitely painting that picture. And but also why restaurants? You know, does she have was her father owned a pizza shop or, you know, like something like that? That would be fascinating and interesting. And you know, I mean, she could even start to post pictures of herself at different restaurants and give reviews, and she could talk about, you know, how she's been helping and, you know, why it matters and how maybe it saved people their investments because of fire or whatever happened. Thank goodness they had the insurance. I don't think there's anything, there's a lot that she could be talking about on the platform, but, you know, she could also be talking about herself too, you know, in a professional career type of way.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of different ways there's a lot of different content forms on LinkedIn that are not available on any other platform.
And we were talking about your favorite the other day.
Oh, that's true. So if you follow Donna on social media, on LinkedIn, and you see her post about carousel posts, I inspired that.
You did. Because we were talking about it. And then you, like, LinkedIn is listening, because my goodness, your post popped right up. And you were talking about how it was being discontinued. And it was like, why would they discontinue such a popular post? And a lot of people felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
Little and it did wasn't, they know it was nomenclature.
But what I thought was carousel and what carousel actually were not the same thing. And the carousel type posts that are being discontinued were only available to a select amount of people.
Yeah. Very few people had that ability. I wanted that ability so badly, and I never got it. But the what we know as carousel is still there, and it looks like a carousel. I don't know why they don't call it a carousel.
They're PDF documents,
but they can also be PowerPoint too. You get pretty much the same. Yeah,
you can upload a PowerPoint as well. So that is something that no other social platform does. Every other social platform, you can upload videos and photos. LinkedIn, you can upload PowerPoints and documents.
Yeah.
PDFs.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, when maybe it's just how I grew up, but with like a PDF that was always, oh, I have a Word document that I don't want someone to change, so let me print it as a PDF. The PDFs that we're talking about are are really, they look like image files, mm-hmm. right? And they're very vibrant. They don't contain a lot of information, but it's a lot of good nuggets over a series of pages. And it's frothy, but at the same time, you enjoy it and you learn something.
Well, exactly. I enjoy these, what should we call them? These PDF carousels? What do we call these?
Yeah, we should come up with a better name because LinkedIn ain't cutting.
LinkedIn doesn't really even have a name for them. But these carousels.
It's a doc post.
A doc post. Okay, document post. Let's call it the right thing. So these document posts are actually very engaging. I find myself flipping through them when I see them because I want to see what the next one says, especially if I know it's a document because it has some sort of arrow or something that says swipe to see the next slide. Right. And then I find myself and they're just easier to I'm sorry if you're one of those people who writes posts that are 5,000 words long or 5,000 characters long. I know you can make very long posts in LinkedIn and Instagram. I know you can. Give me the 100-word version, please, because that's all I'm going to read. Right. But I will slide through your documents.
Everyone's different though. Everyone's different because I will tell you it's been proven. It's been tested. It's not even a theory that 1200 to 1600 characters is what does best.
On LinkedIn.
It's like 15 to 20 lines. Yeah. Which is crazy. It's crazy. They do like these longer posts.
Maybe because you actually have to click on it to open it up to read it.
Well, that right there is almost like a confidence builder for LinkedIn. It's like, oh, they clicked. That means this is a good post. So, you know, doing a little bit longer of a post that collapses automatically and it creates that see more to expand it. That is a good thing. It is a good thing. And then if a person dwells on the post, that helps, not as much as it used to, like that used to really fuel a post. They've luckily pulled back on that, but it's still a good thing that a person like stops on the post and kind of hovers over it.
Document posts give you a reason to stop.
Yeah. And each subsequent click again conveys that there is quality here. Yeah. You know, so that's why you do see a lot more of them on your feed, just like you were seeing a lot of polls, because what does a poll do? A poll, you know, forces you to click to, you know, answer.
Yeah. And that's what you saw on my page was my poll about how do you feel about carousel posts?
that might've been it. You're right. That is what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was wrong. I didn't, what I thought a carousel post was not what a carousel post is. So the carousel post that
you
I
were
thought,
in very good company. Let me just tell you, well, it was super confusing
from the comments on that post. Yeah. I was in very good company. Okay. So let's talk about the reason why I want to focus on the different types of content that you can put on LinkedIn is because it's so different than any other platform. So you can also write articles and have newsletters.
Yes.
I have heard good and bad about that. What's the skinny?
All right. So there is, like you've seen Wizard of Oz, right? You know, there's the guy behind.
My daughter's name is Dorothy. However, we didn't name her after Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. She's named after my aunt. However, yes, you have to show your daughter The Wizard of Oz if she's named Dorothy.
Yes, yes, yes. And naturally, everyone probably asks, where's Toto? So completely. So, you know, there's like the guy behind the curtain, right? You know, he's doing his thing up behind the curtain. And in some ways, that's kind of like the LinkedIn algorithm. Like they are constantly dialing that thing in and out. And you know, the feed changes. And there's times when there's something that really works. And then the next day it doesn't work. Like, so what I'm going to tell you about articles and newsletters, it's true for right now. It may not be true tomorrow. But with articles, I mean, articles were fabulous. I mean, my goodness, you'd write a long form article. It was featured on your profile. It would go out. It would notify your network. Everybody would see it. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then one day it just stopped. It just stopped. And if you have a desire to write go right ahead, use it to blog. It is stored on your profile. It's no longer spotlighted like it used to be, but it is still there. And it's a great platform. You know, if you don't have a website with a blog, use your LinkedIn profile to do it. It's great for thought leadership. And it's evergreen. So it's not like it's a post, it's an article. And then you send it out, you link to it on a post, and the post is what goes out. So, you know, and LinkedIn does tend to prefer you stay on LinkedIn. So I do think that an article is going to do a little bit better than a link to the Wall Street Journal, because then you're leaving LinkedIn to go to the Wall Street Journal. But the thing is, if you just write an article, it's just not seeing a lot of eyeballs.
Anymore. Okay. So where does the newsletter fit in then? Because the gist I'm getting is that the newsletters that I set up, okay, I'll sign up for that, are just articles that are going out syndicated to my feed. Is that what that is?
Yeah. And here's the thing. If you're going to write articles, do it as a newsletter.
Okay. So they're the same thing. One of them is just feeding. Basically what happened was, if I'm understanding the behind the curtains analogy, the man behind the curtain said, we want people to do newsletters so that only folks who opt in to see these articles see them.
I suspect that's what it is. But here's the thing, newsletters are great, but you need to be able to do it sustainably, repeatedly, frequently, consistently. And a lot of people started newsletters. I've started a newsletter. I had one really great newsletter and that was it. I could not keep that ball going.
Well, what about repurposing your blog posts as articles on LinkedIn? Can you do that? Is that kosher?
You could. And then you could even say to read the full article, visit, you know, what I'd, so let, this is what I would, this is what I would say, probably, you know, for your target audience, they got stuff going on, right? They got stuff going on. So this is what I'd want them to do. Don't worry about the articles. If you have a newsletter that's already working and you can kind of repurpose it and you have someone who can help you, or you just have the time, certainly do the newsletter and build up that audience. That's a fabulous thing. I'm not saying don't, but if you don't have that content and you're going to have to come up with the content and you're going to come up with the audience, that's an awful lot of work.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I'd rather level set. What I would say is this: one, make sure your profile is optimized. Make sure it's up to date. It's future forward. It's strategic to your audience. It tells your story. It's infused with your keywords. When a person looks at it, they're like, ah, this person sparkles. I love them. I want to work with them. I want to call them. That's what I want for the profile. Then I want you to work on having a great network. You're connecting with people. If you have less than 500 connections, this is what you need to concentrate on, is build your network. Try to get to that magical 500, because after 500, it stops counting. Now, if you have 1,000 or 2,000 now, you're doing great, fabulous. But if you're anything under that 500 mark, start connecting. Really,
so
work
it
on
stops
connecting.
Counting, as in it doesn't care if you have 510 or 5,100.
It does care. It just doesn't spotlight it. It just says 500 plus.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You can still see, if you go down to their followers, you'll then really see what the real number is. But it's the more the better, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't want to just connect with anybody. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying make your offline network reflected in your online network. You know, really just all of the people that you meet, you've met, you know, you worked with, you were colleagues with, you know, were clients, just connect with these people. That's what you want to do. Then now that you have a strong network, now it's time to start to relate to them. It's now time to start to network and forge the relationships and do more of that drip feed marketing, where it's time to get loud on LinkedIn. And when you want to get loud on LinkedIn, don't just start posting. That's like crazy. I know. But so instead, what you want to do is you want to take it in bites. And I find that people, maybe they have a profile, maybe it's okay. They really haven't spent much time on LinkedIn, but suddenly they want to get loud. You can't get loud on a network that you don't speak their language, that you don't know its dialect. You've got to scroll the feed. You need to dive in and you need to know how people are posting, because LinkedIn is a totally different network than Instagram or TikTok or Twitter or Facebook. It's different, and you've got to calibrate to how these posts are formatted and how we're talking and what we're saying. And you need to do that for quite some time. You need to give it a good week or two to really calibrate. Then you still don't start posting. Now, before you even post, you got to start to engage. You have to start commenting on people's posts. So you spend time calibrating. Then the second phase is, now you have to start commenting. Because a lot of people come to me, they're like, I've been posting and I'm not doing good, and I don't know why. It's because, well, you're not doing well because you're just like shouting. It's LinkedIn is not a pulpit. It's a conversation pit, and you need to be having conversations. And if you're not having conversations, you're not going to have any success.
And your posts aren't for sale. You shouldn't be selling. I don't think
sell a little bit, but if you look at it, if it's probably more, the vast majority of your posts should be educating and adding value and helping and inspiring and motivating. And then every now and then you can, buy my product.
Yeah.
But I like that. It's not the inverse, right?
I like that 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
80% of your posts are fun. 20% can be selling, or 80% are educational. 20% are selling.
Yeah, that works.
I like that. Okay. So the audience listening, the listener, you're probably in network marketing. You're probably a solopreneur. You could be a business coach. You could be a real estate agent. You could be an insurance agent that we talked about earlier. So that's who you are, listener. So now we're going to talk about how to help you specifically. So I'd really love to narrow into network marketing, because that is an opportunity that network marketers I don't think they understand. They're all over Instagram and TikTok, and the average income of somebody on LinkedIn is 150,000, and the average income of somebody on TikTok is 20, right? Oh. I don't know if those numbers are correct, but
it sounds about right.
So let's just narrow down: solopreneur, somebody who works for themselves, maybe is maybe a content creator or brand ambassador, or possibly a network marketer. Mm-hmm. What should they be doing? Because they're not trying to find a job. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make connections, right? So
they need to start jumping in to the feed. They need to be scrolling. They need to be, let's go a little bit further. Let's follow people who have your target audience. Find those people who...
That's the beautiful thing about LinkedIn, is you can follow people without actually making a connection.
Yeah.
So you can follow the thought leaders.
Find those thought leaders. You can even find them through their hashtags. You can do searches and say, who's in my local area? Who's in this industry? Who's doing this? You can do a lot of searching on LinkedIn.
And you can follow hashtags.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that LinkedIn does that nobody else does.
It's a special network. It's a good one. It's a good place to be. And it's like 1%. Is actually producing content. So it's like the bar for entry is pretty
only
low.
1% of LinkedIn users actually produce content.
Yeah, that's what's been stated. And it's like an old stat, but I honestly don't think it's changed much.
That's really fascinating. Okay. So LinkedIn is a great place. This whole concept of brand ambassadors. I've actually been having conversations around the whole concept of brand ambassador a lot lately, and brand ambassador has a lot of different definitions. Yeah. For some people, it's a brand is hiring you to be their ambassador. So, a brand ambassador could go to grocery stores and sell food products for the manufacturer, for the company, right? Or a brand ambassador could be somebody that you have a one-time deal. I'll give you $1,000 and some free product, and you do a video about us. That could be a brand ambassador. But you're talking about making employees brand ambassadors. And on the same note, network marketers could think about themselves as brand ambassadors. So we want to touch on that.
It's all about showing up on this platform and showcasing your passion. And for employees, our hope is that they're passionate about working at the company and that they're going to say good things and they're going to attract the right types of people, perhaps potential employees, perhaps potential clients, partnerships. You know, it's that idea that, you know, if you know someone, you know, and you get along well and it's a good partnership, everyone else in their network is probably going to be a good fit too. So let's utilize that. Let's extrapolate. And so, you know, with LinkedIn, you know, get on LinkedIn and, you know, again, calibrate to it, you know, understand that commenting is important. It's not just you speaking, but you've got to also be engaging with other people. And then when it's time to start to get active, talk about the things that you care about, talk about the things that you love, you know, and post with some frequency. It doesn't have to be every day, crazy, but for LinkedIn, it's more about quality than quantity. And it's also about that engagement. So if you can post and you make sure that the post is asking a question and it's helping people engage easier by giving them like, you know, this is what I want from you and they can easily give it and people are engaging on that post and then you engage back.
I think that's why polls are so popular on LinkedIn.
Yeah, it is. It's just an easy way.
I mean,
you're asking a question.
I've answered ridiculous polls. What kind of mustard do you like? I mean, and I answered them because they're kind of fun. All right.
But don't you find that dial is going in the opposite direction? Like at one time, the feed was full of polls. No, not so much. And then the feed was full of crying CEOs, like people crying was like really big last summer, but not so much now. Now it's like carousel posts, yeah. You know,
or
every other post.
Document posts.
Document posts.
Yeah. Let's call it the right thing so we don't confuse ourselves. I love it. So basically, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You need to be engaging. You need to be, when you are posting yourself, you need to be asking questions that are engaging. You need to be commenting on other people's posts. Now let's move. Okay, so people who are solopreneurs, they also own a company. Mm-hmm. Should a solopreneur create a company page for their business?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you think, all right, so if you think of the LinkedIn profile and that solopreneur is going to list their current experience, which is their company, their business. And if you don't have a company page, you're not going to have a logo. And if you don't have a logo, it looks a little hinky, right?
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to be personal. So I had a business page on LinkedIn and I converted it to my podcast because I thought my podcast would be more of a thing that I would post to. Mm-hmm. But now I discovered that you can have a company page and underneath it, you can have spotlights.
So yeah, spotlight pages.
Am I correct in assuming I should have a company profile and the podcast is a spotlight under the company profile?
That would be the most accurate way of presenting it. But there's no like real right or wrong here. So you could have a podcast page and you could have a company.
Okay.
And you can have them both. Here's the thing. And this is the part that I think gets a lot of people agitated. It's like, wait, Donna, like where should I be posting? Should I be posting as the company or should be posting as the person or should be posting as the spotlight page? And it does become hard. Like there's only so many hours in the day, you know, and it's hard. Like it really is. So I would say for most of the solopreneurs out there, have a company page, have a beautiful logo, you know, give information, you know, dynamically link. And if you have any other, you know, people who are working with you, you know, certainly they can link into.
That's the benefit of having the company profiles is anybody who does any kind of contract work for you, your virtual assistant, all of them can say that they work for you and link to your page.
Yeah. And suddenly you go from being a solopreneur to someone who has a nice little team there.
Yeah.
Right. And it gives credibility.
It gives credibility to the virtual assistant or the contractor. It gives them credibility as well.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't have to necessarily post as the company.
It just needs there. To have a page.
It's almost like you're squatting on LinkedIn's turf.
Good. that's good to know, because that's a lot of posting. I mean, I put my every episode of my podcast on the podcast page, but I don't do anything else there.
But I would think, you know, you could put that there, but I'm hoping you're also sharing it with your network.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, and that's probably where you're getting the most engagement and the most traction.
Yes.
Because, you know, with the company pages, it's like 250 invites a month that you can send out to your network. But like, does everyone want to follow your company page? You know, and some will do it because they're good natured, but you know, people want to be connected to you because it's you, you're real. You know, and there is something about that. So, you know, it's easier to build a personal network than it is to have people follow your company page.
On that line, how much do you know about Facebook?
No, I know a bit.
You know, I'm not sure how long ago they did it, but now there is a way that you can upgrade your personal profile to professional profile.
I know that they did like a content creator profile as well. And LinkedIn has done something very similar to that.
I guess they're similar, because I did upgrade to content creator too on LinkedIn. But on your Facebook professional profile, you can then all of a sudden have people who just follow you like you're a public figure, so that you can separate your business posts from your personal posts. Like you can make this post public and this post private, but people can follow you who just want to follow you. So if you're a content creator, you don't have to have a Facebook page anymore. Yes. You could just have your profile in one place.
Which is nice.
Which I kind of thought maybe Facebook is doing this to compete with LinkedIn.
They might be. So what is nice is when you have a company page and you go to your LinkedIn feed, like the homepage, and you're up there at the top, you know, you can, you know, you post as yourself, right? But then when you go to comment on people's posts, you can actually toggle your name and say, I'm going to comment as my company.
Oh, I've never done that. Ooh, I should comment as my podcast on other podcasts.
You could do that.
Well, that is a genius idea. Okay. How much time do we have? Oh, we have some time. How much time do you have?
I'm good.
Okay. So
I'm all yours, Candace.
We talked about which kinds of posts are actually the most successful on LinkedIn and which perform the worst, didn't we? We basically covered that.
I mean, maybe we did. I mean, I will say this. The best performing posts are the posts that get people to have conversations in the comments. That's the best performing post. So as long as you can get people to engage and comment and have back and forth conversations, your post is going to do pretty well. You want to post it at a time when that core group of people who see it, because it goes out to like a little target audience, like a little focus group first. You want to make sure that they're active and they're feeling like twitchy.
How do you know the best time to post for your LinkedIn profile?
There is no best time to post. Okay. I mean, the best time to post is when whatever focus group they show your post to is on LinkedIn and is active and is feeling pretty good. So like if you post at 3 a.m., not a good time. I like to post, I tell people to post in the mornings because it has a long time to build through the day. Right? Because if you start on the East Coast, you know, it's early and then the, you know, Pacific people come in. And so you have a longer time to build. With that said, I almost always post at noon because
that's when you're available.
That's just when I'm like, you know, my juices are flying at that point. So this and is, I always think I wish I had posted this earlier. I bet it would have done better if I posted at 8.
But I mean, maybe that's when you're a focus group. You'll just have to find the focus group that also reads it at noon. So I'm in the Eastern time zone. Mm-hmm. And I have an email that I send out on Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern that goes to my entire audience talking about today's topic during I do a live class on Thursdays at 11, right? And I have found that if I send that email after 9 o'clock Eastern, my turnout at the 11 o'clock class is half of what it normally is if I send the email at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. is 2 o'clock in the morning for the people in California. You know, but it's email. It's not social. So yeah. I mean, they get their email when they get their email. But
it's chronological. So you know, they just look.
But I always found that really interesting. So now I schedule them the night before, and I don't, because what if I don't wake up early enough to send it before 7, right? But yeah, I found that was really interesting.
Yeah, you know, I wish, I would say this, if someone says to you, the best time to post on LinkedIn is 3 o'clock on Thursdays, everyone's going to start posting then.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not going to be the best time.
Yeah.
I remember a client of mine, he was on a podcast, and he was so excited and so proud. Like it wasn't part of his marketing strategy, and he didn't do it often. So he was really happy to be on this podcast. And he came to me, he's like, help me, you know, create this post. And, you know, I worked with him and we crafted something really special. And I said, no, you please post this ASAP. Like, I want this out now. And he just sat on it and sat on it. And on Sunday, like morning, like mid morning, I don't know, like maybe even late morning, like 10 a.m. or something, I decide to just quickly scan, and there's his post. And I'm like, Craig, not on a Sunday. Well, open mouth, insert foot, because he got so much traction.
Really?
No one was posting on a Sunday, but everyone else was like me. I have nothing else to do. It's a Sunday morning. I'm drinking my coffee. Let me see what's going on LinkedIn. It was like an avalanche.
Shocking.
So
it makes sense.
Yeah. So like, I would just say, as long as it's not in the middle of the night.
In your time zone.
Yeah.
That's the other thing about LinkedIn, is you can have connections from all over the world too. So how really relevant is that?
Yeah. I mean, maybe everyone in Singapore is, you know, looking to, you know, to engage.
Yeah. I mean, between BNI and my podcast, I have had conversations on Zoom with people in most time zones around the world, right? You know, and you just make it work within the time frame that you both have. And LinkedIn is the same way. You could have people from around the globe wanting to connect with you.
Yeah.
Speaking of wanting to connect with you, what do you do when you have, I'm a podcaster, so I, you know, a handful or more a month or week, a handful or more a week, I get solicitations from people saying, I can promote your podcast. What do you do with those? I sort of just delete them and don't even respond. But
yeah,
what are your thoughts?
So I'm torn, and I'll tell you why I'm torn. You know, I often get people who you know, have clients, or, you know, people, Donna, you know, lend me your ear. I want to, you know, pick your brain. And it's, you know, I get so many sales, like unsolicited sales messages on LinkedIn, and I hate it, and so obnoxious. And is it okay for me to delete them? I'm like, yeah, just delete them. By the way, I really want to send out 1,000 messages because I want to sell people. I'm like, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. No. If you're going to be spamming, just understand that you're going to get spam too.
Yeah.
Right.
So nobody wants to be sold to in their inbox. So how do we sell?
Yeah. You do it through relationships, right? You do it through showing up and giving value and getting found and being helpful. And it's the old fashioned way.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed. Like, you know, back in the 70s, you didn't just go and like, hey, want to buy this? What? Maybe you did, but like, I used to cold call. It's, you know, it is a numbers game. So, I mean, eventually you would hit people, but if you really wanted to best utilize yourself, you let people know who you are. You let people know what you do. You're there, you help, you keep showing up, keep smiling, keep inspiring, and business collides with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I follow a guy. I was connected to, I followed him because somebody I know follows him, but he created this whole series of posts about how to repurpose your content. And he did it through carousel posts. He had all these carousel posts that he did. And, you know, it was like every day he would give you 5 more tips on how to repurpose content until he was done with 100 of them or something.
Until he had repurposed all his content.
Then, yeah, until he repurposed all his content. And he is a podcast, you know, he helps you promote your podcast. That's his gig. But he was doing these repurposing things. If I ever want to hire someone to help me with my podcast promotion, he's the one I'm going to hire because he's putting content out. Not the guys that are putting, you know, that are inboxing me, hey, are you the host of so-and-so podcast, of the Gratitude Geek podcast? I noticed that you have blah, 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 and I could do better than that, right? Or my favorite, and this is one that I've been getting a lot lately, is this your podcast? With a link to my podcast. I've been getting that a lot lately.
but, you know, at the same time, like there's nothing wrong with having a nice introductory email that introduces you and says, hey, you know, you're a podcaster and I know you don't have a lot of time and you probably want to get to a lot of people and you're, and, you know, if you are looking for someone who can do this, these are all of our services and I'd be more than happy to chat with you. That would be like, yeah. You'd be open to that. That's nice. Yeah. Right. Maybe they even say, I see that you post about this and you work with solopreneurs and like showcase that a little bit of thought, a little bit of energy has gone into it. That's the difference. You know, it's that like bot that just keeps sending the same copied and pasted message to thousands of people. And the person receiving it isn't getting any real value from it.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, I have noticed a lot of folks on LinkedIn are putting a footer on their posts. Yeah. It says something like, hi, I'm Candace and I help solopreneurs get stuff done. Like that. How do you feel about that?
I like it.
You do? Okay. Yeah. What are your suggestions on what to write there then?
You know, I think it's like the fastest elevator pitch of your life. You know, basically this is what I post about and follow and you say, not just follow, but ring my bell. I'm sure you're saying that as well. What does that mean? When you connect with a person or you follow a person, a little bell appears in the upper right of their profile. And if you click it, now you're suddenly going to be subscribed to their activity and you will be notified.
You're telling LinkedIn, yes, I do want to see them in my feed. So if you are seeing too much from someone, like if all of a sudden I'm like, I can't stand any more posts from Donna. I don't want to see another Donna post. I could just go unring your bell.
Yeah. But don't unring me.
I won't unring you. Okay. Before we wrap up, let's talk about the header. What should we put in our picture at the head of our profiles? And what should we use as our picture? And is it a good idea to have a video behind your profile photo?
Well, I've got some bad news for you, Candace.
Yeah.
The cover profile video, whatever you want to call it now, the profile video is going away in 3 days. In fact, the 26th of June.
On the same day that they're getting rid of the carousel posts.
It's like the chopping block.
Does that mean that the video that I have there will go away?
What they're saying is it will remain for the time being. Now I'm really curious what it's going to look like on the 27th. You know, are all the videos going to just disappear or are they going to stay there? Can you replace it or will it just eventually one day just disappear? They have not been very clear on what they
behind the curtain, right?
Yeah. The man behind the curtain isn't really telling much, but they did say it will remain. It will remain for now. And again, I don't know if it's just going to stay there indefinitely. But the ability to do it is going to go away, unfortunately. But you know, the background graphic should be something that illustrates your brand. You know, it doesn't have to contain every, you know, it doesn't have to have tons of writing. but just something that, you know, it's pretty. It lets people know who you are, what you do. It should illustrate your brand. You know, it should give a person an idea of what it is that you do subtly. The picture, if I like professionally taken photos, I think they look like money. I think it makes you look successful, right? And people like to do business with successful people.
I so love your I like photo. That. Your profile photo really stands out because you've put a circle behind you with a circle behind it, but the circle isn't the full circle, so it looks three-dimensional.
Yeah.
Your profile photo looks three-dimensional. Y'all, you need to go and check out Donna's LinkedIn profile.
It's on Canva.
Oh yeah. I had a feeling you might've. Is it okay if I copy you with my brand colors?
Abs- Absolutely.
It really does stand out.
Thank you. I was just playing around. And really what I was trying to do is in the search results, I wanted my picture to like almost look a little off from everybody else's. So mm-hmm. it would catch people's eyes. That's what I was really going for.
And it worked. It worked.
Good. You're the first person to say that to me. Thank you.
Well, because no, everybody else is disappointed in themselves for not coming up with the idea themselves.
Well, I mean, of late, it's people are doing the brightly colored backgrounds. That's been pretty popular of late, I've noticed. Yeah. But my picture was taken by Jason Rinaldi, and he is a headshot. He's a headshot photographer of the Peter Hurley headshot crew. So he's a headshot crew photographer from Peter Hurley. If you're not familiar with them, check them out. It's an awesome database to find a good photographer near you.
Headshot photographer in my chapter is also a Peter Hurley headshot photographer. And man, just the quality of their shots.
Yeah. What's really awesome.
You can tell who is on that crew.
Oh yeah. You can, because it's so high level. It's so natural. It doesn't feel forced. It feels very powerful somehow. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is when you get the picture taken, like there's boxes of light all around you and they have a monitor right in front of you. So you can see how you look. So it's not a question. And the photographer actually comes over and he like positions you and tells you exactly what he wants. So there's no guesswork. Like, you know, I'm not a model. I didn't go to Montgomery Ward and, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I don't know what to do. Put me in front of a camera. I'm just going to like cross my arms like the business headshots do, but they kind of coach you, and like normal people need to be coached because it doesn't come natural.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about that. And then the headline, which is right next to the photo, right below your name, that needs to be your tagline. You know, infuse it with your keywords, put in a benefit statement. Don't get too overly salesy. I find that a lot of people are really, really salesy.
You want to pitch headline. Do you want to pitch your headline generator?
I'd be more than happy to. Thank you for offering. I do have a LinkedIn headline generator, and it's a free resource on my website, linkedinmakeover.com. And it's really easy to generate a fun, engaging, you know, headline that's going to get people to take notice and want to click to learn more about you.
Don't you have a couple of other free resources on the website too?
I have a slew. One of my favorites is my text formatter. So if you want to format text either on your profile or in posts, you can now bold or italicize content, you know, your text, but it's faux text. So do be careful. You know, people who are blind and they need like a screen reader, it doesn't work all that well for them. So I would say if you're going to use it very just for those small little areas, not for any huge chunks of text, because it becomes inaccessible or unaccessible.
I wondered why some posts on LinkedIn were formatted, but I could never figure out how to do it on mine.
They use my text formatter.
That's interesting. Why does it work to use the text formatter, but it doesn't have that option?
Because it's not real text. It takes a Unicode looking character. So, you know, we think that the characters that are available are only the ones that are on our keyboard, but there's a lot more characters beyond the ones that we see on our keyboard. So it'll look for a U, something that looks like a U that's really, really bold. And it just maps that to our regular U. So if you spell it out, it looks like, you know, I don't know, unicycle in bold, but the actual letters are not that. There's something else. It's gobbledygook. So it looks good to the human eye, but behind the scenes, the man, you know, dialing in the algorithm. So whatever you do, it's not going to be searchable either.
It's like when I was copying and pasting some profile links. I have a paid coaching program. a paid membership program. We call it Robusta. It's $25 a month, guys. If you want some DIY marketing coaching for $25 a month, we're doing weekly coaching for $25 a month. You can't
beat
that. That
is awesome.
I know. So we were doing LinkedIn and I was copying, pasting the profile links from LinkedIn over to the chat so that people could go back and look at them later. And I noticed that some of them who had emojis in their name, their profile link, the URL for their link had some weird characters in it instead of the emoji. So talk about emojis in your name, because I put emojis in my name. Is that a good idea?
No.
No, I should take them out.
Well, you've got to be careful now. If you edit your name, you could trigger LinkedIn to make you have to verify your identity. So it's really touchy right now. But your name should be your name. You shouldn't have emojis in it. It's just not a good idea. Like if you read the terms of service, it says your name is your name. So
really?
I would even go so far as to say you should not even put MBA or, you know, any of those other degrees after it.
Really? Mm-hmm. So why do they give you the option to add the emojis if it's
you can
not
put the emojis in your headline, you could put emojis in your content, in your posts, but just I wouldn't put them in your name.
Okay.
Because if a person is searching and they're typing in your name, but they're not including the emoji, of course they wouldn't be including the emoji. It's just going to take LinkedIn a little harder. You know, if other people have your name, they would pop up before you.
Okay. So I'm going to change my profile. And if I get dinged by LinkedIn, oh, well, I can prove my identity.
Yeah.
I am who I am. I can prove I am. All right. So aside from LinkedIn, what is your favorite marketing tool, tip, or technique?
What is my favorite marketing tool,
tip, or technique?
I should be able to rattle this off really quick. You know, I love Grammarly. That, you know, really tightens up. I love Calendly. Oh my, actually, that's probably number one, Calendly. It allows people to book time on my calendar without that back and forth. I love that. So I'm sure everyone knows Calendly, do they? I hope they, if not,
it's a schedule.
Look into it. It's so amazing. Calendly, I love ChatGPT. I mean, I'm still like
I put at least two, if not three or four videos on YouTube every week. And I now use a plugin, a Chrome plugin or a Chrome extension called Harpa, H-A-R-P-A, Harpa. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called. Have you heard of it?
No.
Harpa AI.
I'm writing it down.
So I installed this Harpa AI to Chrome. So it's an extension. And so now rather than writing my own YouTube descriptions and coming up with titles for my YouTube videos, what I do is I upload the video. So like I'll upload the video for this and I will put it and then I will have it transcribed. I'll have YouTube transcribe it. Mm-hmm. And after the transcription is ready, I'll say, okay, release the transcription. It's not called transcription on YouTube. It's called something else. But then while I have the video open, I go Control A and Harpa pops up and I put in / YouTube summary and it summarizes the YouTube video. And then I say, okay, suggest a title and a YouTube description. And it'll give me a title and a YouTube description. And then from there, I take what it puts out and I adapt it, make sure it sounds right, you know, and that's what I'm using. It just saves me so much time.
Yeah.
And I'm using it for my show notes too. Cause it's just, I used to actually sit there and as I was editing a video, it would take me 4 hours. I would write the show notes as I edited. So I'd be going back and forth between writing show notes and editing and it was just taking me hours. And now I just edit the video, upload it to YouTube, ask Harpa AI to give me the show notes. And then I use those show notes. I mean, I don't just copy and paste, never just copy and paste with ChatGPT, y'all.
You can't.
But it's just saving me so much time.
It's insane. It's insane what it does.
Yeah.
And we're leaning into it because I now have instantprofile.io. And that's where if a person doesn't want to work with a human being and doesn't want to have that consultation, but they just simply want something like, I want to press a button and have a good looking profile. Instantprofile.io will do that. And what's
that cost?
It's $250.
Wow. And they don't even have to talk to you.
Don't even have to talk. but we ask a lot of questions. So it's not like just going to ChatGPT. Like there's no API that automatically updates LinkedIn. I wish there was, but there isn't. So there is a lot of, you know, steps and, you know, how to copy, how to paste it in. But the generators, I've put so much work into the prompts. So it really sounds natural and it really incorporates why a person is on LinkedIn. Because, you know, anything else, it's like, oh, we'll write it. But no one wants a profile that's just written to be written. It needs to be written to the target audience.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what this incorporates.
Well, that's leaning into technology. I mean, there are still people who are like, we'll see what goes, but I'm leaning into it because it's making me more productive, and you're leaning into it because it gave you a new income source.
Yeah, it has, but I'm leaning into it because it's going to, one, you know, it is the future, but I think it's also going to help. There's a lot of people, and I can say this until I'm blue in my face. Optimize your profile, tell your story, get deliberate with your brand, like understand what it is that you do and how you're helping and articulate it. Like I can say this, but so many people are like, I don't have time. I don't want to do it. I don't want to hire someone to do it. Well, use this, do the AI tool. Everyone has time. You'll figure it out, get it done, and no more excuses.
Well, using the AI tool with all those questions also will help you narrow down who you really are. I mean, a lot of folks don't want to do it because they don't know what their message is or who they are or who they want to work with or what kind of job they want or any of that. So that's why they don't do it. So it's probably a lot less intimidating when an AI is asking them the questions than when one of your team members are asking the questions.
I'm extending to your audience a 50% discount off of instantprofile.io. The promo code is gratitude. And it's good until July 31st.
So I like that. I like it. There'll be a link to that in the show notes, y'all. All right. This is your moment of gratitude. For whom or what are you most grateful?
Most grateful? Like most grateful. I'm grateful for my business. I am grateful for my family, my two sons, my husband, my sister. Oh my gosh. My sister, my mom. My father, who passed away in 2011, but man, set me on a pretty good path. You know, it's people. It's people mainly, but it's also the business because it allows me to help people.
Thanks for tuning in to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building lasting, genuine relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. Make sure to visit gratitudegeek.com for the show notes where you can find links to all the groovy resources we've mentioned, including ways to connect with our guest, Donna Sedula. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Audible, iTunes, Good Pods, or your preferred podcast player so you never miss an episode. Our theme music is Track 14 by Rev Rock and Soul Lily. I'm your host, Candace Ridardi, reminding you that gratitude is like manure. It's just a pile of poo until you spread it around. Stay groovy, my friends.
Stay groovy, my friends.